Well, welcome to the last Sunday of 2023. Isn't that crazy how quick these years go? Oh my goodness. I don't think I finished getting used to writing 2023 and it's already 2024. Glad we don't write checks anymore. Yeah, that was always a hard thing. Hey, just to give you a exciting news about at least the first Sunday of the new year. Next Sunday, I'm going to be out, but our youth pastor, Jairo Garcia, is going to preach next Sunday for you. So that's a great way to kick off the year for Jairo and for our church. I'm going to be out at our New Heart partner out in Hempstead doing a retreat for some people that have had some really abusive situations in their lives. So be praying for me as a I go out there this Friday, and then I'll be there over the weekend. Of course, this is our kind of New Year's Eve service, and this week I was thinking about that. I was thinking about, you know, how often, you know, I kind of think, I wish I could do more. You know, I look back at the year and say, did I do enough? You know, I look back at the year and kind of go, am I living the best that I can be living? And it reminded me of a story. I heard this one years ago. In fact, Rebecca, I think first time I heard it, me and Rebecca working at Centrifuge Summer Camps. And but the story goes, there was a man named Lawrence Walker. He was a truck driver. And he said, you know, basically, I'm just tired of my life. If you looked in and got to talk to Lawrence, he had wanted to be an Air Force pilot. That's what he had wanted to be. But his eyes weren't good enough to pass all the exams. So he never got to be an Air Force pilot. Instead, he became a truck driver. And on July 2nd, July 2nd, 1982, he said, I'm tired of this. He said, I want to do something more. And so in San Pedro, California, in his backyard, he acquired and blew up with helium 42 weather balloons. He then attached the weather balloons to a Sears lawn chair, and then he disconnected his anchor and took off in a Sears lawn chair and 42 weather balloons filled with helium. All he had in his hand was a pellet gun, figuring the best way to descend once he gets up there was to start shooting out the balloons to start lowering the height. Now, what he didn't realize was how high those 42 balloons were going to take him. And to his shock and amazement, he soon achieved the altitude of 16,000 feet in the air. He said the oxygen there was a little bit lower than what he thought it would be. But he wasn't the only person to be surprised that day. Because the pilot of the Southwestern airline that happened to be flying by him at that time is recorded as calling the tower and saying, hey, you're not going to believe what I just saw up here. There's a guy in a lawn chair flying. Well, as he went on, he finally did start shooting out. It said he made a controlled descent and landed in Long Beach 45 minutes later, so an almost 1 hour flight. Of course, the guy instantly had some laws that he broke. He had to take care of that. But then he kind of became famous just for a little while, got to be on Johnny Carson. And on The Tonight Show, they asked him this question. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Lawrence Walker said, well, people ask me that a lot. And he said, they wondered if I had a death wish or something. And he said, but I tell him no. He said, I just had to do something. I couldn't just keep sitting here anymore. And I think about that. And I think about that desire within me to kind of say, I just can't do nothing anymore. I can't just live another year and not feel like I'm doing any, I just can't sit here anymore. But at the same time, I think I also don't want to be known for flying a lawn chair, right? There's got to be something more. So I entitled this message, No Lawn Chair Resolutions here. No lawn chair resolutions. But what are the right resolutions? As Christians, if we look at our Christian life and say, I feel like I'm just sitting in my Christian life. I feel like I am just playing the Christian game. I don't feel like I'm growing. I don't feel like I'm moving. My question is, what if we're not supposed to build lawn chairs, what are we supposed to do? What are the musts of the Christian life? What can we gather to say, if we did nothing else this year, what three things could we focus on? And so I found where Jesus told his disciples, here's three major things. It's in Luke chapter 9. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 9. If you don't, it's the part we're going to read is in your notes. It's a great chapter, Luke chapter 9. It's one full of stories that we hear before. Luke chapter 9 starts with Jesus sending the disciples out. Y'all remember that story? And Jesus sent them out two by twos, and they went from village to village to village, healing people and telling people about Jesus. And then they came back to Jesus. They came back to Jesus. And the next part of chapter 9, Jesus feeds 5,000 people. So they come back to a crowd, and then we get that feeding of the 5,000. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, after they've been out talking to people, and after they'd been in the crowd handing out food, Jesus asked them, he said, he was praying in private. This is verse 18. That's not in your notes, but I'll just kind of read it so that you can kind of see where we are. Verse 18 of 9. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do crowds say I am? He said, I just want to get a feeling of what's going on. And they replied, some say you're John the Baptist, because John had been killed, and here's Jesus coming on the scene. He said, others say Elijah, still others that one of the prophets of long ago have come back to life. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And he said, Peter answered him. And Peter, you got this one right. Isn't that awesome? Peter, the one that often just flubs it up, just at that point looked right into Jesus' eye, and he said, you are God's Messiah. God's Messiah. Well, on hearing this, Jesus first tells them a must statement about himself. And that's where we're at in verse 22. He said, seeing how you know who I am, seeing how the people out there probably don't know who I am yet, he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. So must. He said, here's what he said, if I'm going to be the Messiah you're talking about, he said, I need you guys to hear me. I must suffer many things. When we read that, it doesn't catch us as much as it did the disciples that day. This was the first time recorded in the book of Luke that Jesus talked about his suffering and dying on the cross. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being those disciples that are going town to town to town to town telling people about Jesus, about them seeing Jesus do a miracle, and then all of a sudden Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day he'll be raised to life. Man, that must have been a eye-opening when he said killed. I can't imagine. But then here's where I want to get to in this. As Jesus says, this is what I must do, he then turns to the disciples and tells them what they must do. In verse 23, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very selves? Isn't that interesting? There's so many times when we think what should I do? We have this grandiose, you know, what if I can be rich? You know, what if I can achieve something at my work? You know, what if I could create something? What if I could invent something? You know, what if I got it all? And Jesus said, you know, even if you had it all, what's really important is who you are inside, yourself. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. And that's Luke 9, 22 through 26. So I'd like to just take a few minutes this morning and look at those three phrases that Jesus said. He said, we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow me. So I want to kind of dive into that. But before I do, I want you to notice three things. I want three things to remember as we go into that. First, it says, then he said to them all. I want y'all to remember that all includes you. All includes you. In fact, he kind of even went at it again. He said, whoever. Whoever. You know, this isn't just saying, you know, the greatest of you. It's not saying, you know, the ones who really are, you know, perfect. He said, for all of you need to be listening to this. Whoever, in fact, that's you. Whenever you see all or whoever, I think we have license to kind of put our name in there. You know, what if it read, then he said to Bill Lofton, right? Then he said to Roy Wooten. Then he said to Jairo Garcia. Then he said to Blake Nichols, if you want to be my disciple. And it causes you just to listen up a little bit more when you put your name in there. Okay, Jesus. Yeah, okay. You want me. Okay, I get it. Okay. I'll listen up. The next thing I want you to see is it is a choice. It is a choice. You have to want to. He said, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple. It's neat that God gives us that choice. He said, I'm not going to make you be my disciple. You know, I think we see the church is full of people that want to have a relationship with Jesus. They want to accept his grace and love, but they struggle with wanting to be a disciple. And he said, and it's almost this point of going, listen, I've got you, right? My price that I will pay on the cross is going to cover your sins, is going to reconnect you with God through my grace. Nothing you can accomplish, but listen, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be able to get the most that you can get, if you don't want to just say, I'm tired of sitting here, I want to see something happen, he said, if you want that, there's some musts that you have to do. The last thing, and that's it. If you realize it's you, if you realize you want to do more with this, you want to be a disciple, if so, the next three things are commands. Commands. It's not this like, I want to be a disciple, but I really don't care about these next three things. I want to be a disciple, but that's a little bit too much. Now, Jesus said, if you want to have an impact, if you want to do something as a disciple of Jesus, if you want to live the best Christian life that you can live, here's some commands. Here's some musts. So let's look at them. The first one is, he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Must deny themselves. That's a hard one, isn't it? Deny yourself. If you understand Christianity, a lot of times we say, and it's true, that we have an enemy, right? We have an enemy who is Satan. But really, our enemy so many times is what we call the old nature. The what we choose, what we decide we want. And there's like this battle, I don't know about you, but for me, there's this battle for the center of my life. And that battle is what I want to do, what I think will make me happy, against saying, I want God to be the center of my life. I want Jesus to be the center of my life. And the only way to fight that battle, I'm saved. Jesus paid that price for me. But if I want to be a disciple, I've got to intentionally fight the battle and say, I need to find places where I need to deny myself to make room for God. Deny yourself to make room for God. I go back to when I was in college. The big thing back then was, what would Jesus do? Did anybody have a bracelet? WWJD, was that it? What would Jesus do? And it became kind of a cliche thing. But there's so many things in our life where we need to go back to that. What would Jesus do with television? What would Jesus do at my work? What would Jesus do with my family? When we start asking that question, would Jesus do what I am doing? That kind of shows a spotlight on areas where more than likely myself has kind of taken control, right? You know, if I sit down and watch a show and kind of go, huh, would Jesus watch this? And if the answer is no, he wouldn't, then I mean, I'm saved. God loves me. His grace covers me. But if I'm not willing to say, hey, this is an area where I've let me have control, how can I deny myself and make room for Jesus instead? In our business relationships, if I see a place, would Jesus handle the situation in my business like I handled it today? And if the question is no, spotlight, here's a place where I'm not denying myself. How are you treating your family? How are you treating your husband? How are you treating your wife? How do you treat your children? Is that how Jesus would treat them? I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm just saying that there are spotlights that will come into your life when all of a sudden you realize there are areas where you're in firm control, where I'm in firm control. And we have to realize that Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to be in the process of finding those areas, being intentional. Now we'll talk about it in a minute, but you don't have to do them all at once. We are not called to be perfect. We are called to be forgiven. So I'm not saying, hey, everybody here, if you want to be a Christian, you got to live a perfect life. I'm saying, if you want to be a Christian, a growing Christian, you've got to look for those red flag areas and slowly work on them. It might take 5 years for you to kind of work on an area to where you say, I don't know if it's exactly what Jesus would do, but it's the best I could do towards it. And that's okay, because Jesus said, you know, be in the process of denying yourself. The next one, you take up your cross daily. Take up your cross daily. I think that word daily is the emphasis that Jesus has there. He said, every day, you're doing this denying yourself, you're looking for red, you know, spotlights, red flags, but he said, this needs to be on a daily occurrence. You should daily be doing this. You should find ways in every day. I mean, we always laugh and joke about Christians that just come on Christmas and Easter. I couldn't say this last week because I probably had some people here that were just Christmas and Easter Christians. But, you know, today, New Year's Day, we see who the real people are, right? And we kind of go, they need to live their Christian life more than just on Christmas and Easter. They need to do it daily. But you know, a lot of times if we get down to it, you know, out of 7 days a week, well, we're 1 day a week Christians, right? You know, we really come in here on Sunday morning, I want to hear that praise music. I want to sing that last song again. You know, I want to go holy, holy, holy on Sunday. And I want to sit down with a group of people on Sunday and read my Bible and discuss how that affects my life. And I want on Sunday to carve out some time for God on Sunday. But he didn't say pick up your cross weekly. He said, pick up your cross every day. Every day say, how can I live out this process I'm going of trying to deny myself, to try to allow Jesus to come into every area? How can I live that out every day and every step that I take. So number two that Jesus said, here's two musts. You must be always in the process of saying, are there areas where I need to deny myself? You must always be in the process to say, how am I doing with this daily thing? How am I doing on continuing this? How is that going for me? And then the third one is you must keep on following Jesus. Keep on following Jesus. Now this is important because following Jesus means that you are trying to see where Jesus is leading, right? And you're trying to say, hey, how do I come along and follow Jesus? And I'll just say it this way. I know a lot of religious people that do a lot of religious things. But what the part they left out is the following Jesus. They go, oh, I'm denying myself today. I'm denying myself today. I'm denying myself. I'm working it in my life every day. I'm working it in my life. But they never really stop and say, God, Jesus, let me see you. Let me have a relationship with you. Let me learn more about you so that I can walk this every day. Here's what I want you to hear, that in the Greek here, this command to follow Jesus is one that's in the tense of saying it must be a continual action. You don't just say, I'm going to follow Jesus and now that's done. Following Jesus says, I want every day to get a little closer to Jesus. I want to learn a little bit more. I want to love him a little bit more. And then the next day, same thing again. And the next day, same thing again. I think it becomes a circle. I think the more I follow Jesus and love Jesus, the more I want to deny myself. The more I deny myself, the more I'm going to be living this out daily. The more I live it out daily, the more I'm going to learn about Jesus and how this applies. And I'll go, oh, Jesus, now I know even more because I lived that out today. And I get to know him more, which will then lead to saying, hey, I'm going to take a trust step in this area and deny myself in this area, which will then lead to daily living, which will lead to following. And it's just this beautiful circle of must. And, you know, I go back to what he said. If you want to be my disciple, do these three things. Daily do these three things. And so, for this year, for 2023, three questions for you. Three questions. What's one thing you need to stop doing that isn't honoring Christ? What one thing? If I just said, what's in your life right now that the Holy Spirit's just kind of saying, hey, there's one area where you need to work on denying yourself. Now, I'll come back to it again. I'm not saying every area. We will never be perfect while we're on this earth. You know, that's going to be in the next part of our life. But while we're here, if you could just find one... just one area this year to say, hey, I see it as that red flag area. And maybe you're like me, because just a while ago, you know, I talked about, I kind of caught myself this year tuning out what comes across my TV. I heard someone one time say, don't let your TV say anything you wouldn't let your children say. And boy, my TV has a dirty mouth. I just got to say, I don't know about y'all's, but my TV has a dirty mouth. And I thought about that. In fact, I thought about it because, you know, we were home. I had all kinds of family. Well, you know, my mom lives with me now. And so all the brothers and the sisters and the aunts all kind of come here to see mom. And I'm sitting there with my 72-year-old aunt who loves action movies. She loves action movies. And so... I said, let's see if there's like an action movie or an action TV show that you might like. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, I remember this one particular show on Amazon called Reacher. I don't know if you ever watched Reacher. And I said, hey, let's watch Reacher with my 72-year-old aunt. And I turned it on, and it just immediately just had all these filthy words coming out. And I got embarrassed because I'm sitting there with my 72-year-old aunt. Now, she actually didn't care. You know, she was kind of going, yeah, I'm just used to hearing this. But I'm thinking, I shouldn't be, right? I shouldn't be used to hearing this. So I went and I re-upped it for something I told y'all that I've used for years off and on called VidAngel. $10 a month, you can edit out all the cuss words and nudity from anything showing on Netflix, Amazon, or Apple Plus, or I think Peacock is on there now too. So four of the biggest streaming services, you can go on and watch anything on there and just click a button and take out all the cuss words. And so the next day I got my aunt in there and I said, let's watch Reacher again. And I ran it through VidAngel. And so you know, all of a sudden, someone goes, that's a bunch of, and she said, what just happened there? I said, I put it through VidAngel. I said, we don't have to listen to that anymore. Yeah, maybe you're something where you see you're not denying yourself. Maybe it's something food-wise. Maybe it's something, you know, like I said, how you treat somebody in your family or at work. I don't know what it is. But if you can decide, here's one thing I'm going to work on. Hey, what you need, you need to make a little plan there. Okay, how am I going to work on it? I'm not just going to say I'm going to work on it, but you know, there's lots of tools out there for whatever. Just start Googling them or ask somebody. Should I say, can you help me? Boy, accountability, right? Accountability. I had a friend call me last night, said, Blake, how you doing? And he's one of those ones when he asks how you doing, he really means it. He's not just saying, give me the fluff. And I kind of said, well, there's a couple areas where I'm struggling. And he said, all right, we're going to meet for breakfast in 2 weeks. And I said, all right, we're going to meet for breakfast in 2 weeks. We need that, right? We need to locate things where we need to deny ourselves and then get a plan, get a support system, and start working on it. Number two, what's one way you can let your Christian life spill out daily? What's one way that you can let your Christian, you know, if we need to be doing this daily, how do you do that? You can, you know, one thing that we always say is have a quiet time. You know, if you can spill a little bit of scripture into your morning life, and we hear that word quiet time, and we go, oh, I got to spend an hour in prayer and Bible study, and I always say it doesn't say that. It doesn't. It just says, put some scripture in. And listen, it can be 1 minute, it can be 5 minutes, it can be 10 minutes. But if you do it on a continual basis of saying, daily, I'm going to do this. Daily, I'm going to bear my cross. Daily, I'm going to take the, then suddenly, even if I did this a long time ago, I signed up for a verse of the day. And for the last, I bet it's 20 years in my email, I get a verse every morning at I think it comes in about 4:30 or 5 o'clock because I hear a little ding on my phone. And I go, oh, be quiet. And then the first thing that I'm able to do is just read that verse for the day. Hey, that's one verse that if I hadn't signed up for that I wouldn't get in my life that day. Sometimes they don't mean anything to me. But sometimes I go, oh, thank you, God. Thank you for that. Yeah, and you know, I've said, if you just took 7 minutes every morning, 7 minutes, the perfect number, seven, right? 7 minutes and just said, hey, I'm going to spend 2 minutes reading the Bible. I'm just going to read 2 minutes. That's all. 2 minutes. I'm going to spend 2 minutes in prayer, and then I'm going to spend 2 or 3 minutes writing down what I learned just then. What did I learn from the scripture I read and what I prayed? So as if just 7 minutes every morning. And then you could go back and go, what was God teaching me last year on December 31st? Isn't that neat? You know, you're just letting it spill out daily is the thing that Jesus was saying. He said, daily, this isn't a once a week thing. This is a daily thing. And then how do you spill it out at work? You know, maybe you just want to say, hey, I want to make sure that everybody at work knows that I'm a believer. And maybe that's just putting something on your desk that says, God loves you. I don't know. I was with a guy a few weeks ago, and we're going to do this before Easter, is he carries around little cards. And he says, every time anybody hands me anything, He said, whether it's change, whether it's, hey, you know, here's something I want you to read. You to go walk. You ever go down Walmart and see the direct TV guy that's always handing out little pamphlets in the middle of Walmart? He said, anytime anybody hands me anything, he said, I always have a card ready to hand back to them. Thank you for that. I'll accept that. And I would like to give you this card. And on that card, it has the name of his church and on the back a website for the commonly asked questions of non-believers. And it's just that simple. But he said, I want my life spilling out daily. So it's kind of his heart to say, hey, I'm just going to let every time someone hands me something, I'm going to hand them something back and tell them that God loves them. It's a way to spill it out daily. You know, maybe it's a prayer time that you have with coworkers. Maybe it's a prayer time you have with family. Family devotions, you know, that's a neat thing. That's a really neat thing. A lot of times we think, oh, that's, once again, that's too big. I can't lead a devotion. All a devotion is reading maybe some scripture and just saying, hey, how does that apply to your life? What do you think about that scripture? And it can be 5 minutes long, but you just spent 5 minutes with your family going, here's something. We used to do it by Zoom sometimes. We would call up the kids because they're all over the place and just say, hey, let's spend, you know, 5 or 10 minutes reading the scripture and then and just kind of discussing what we saw. And it doesn't take much, but it does take a commitment to say, I'm going to do this daily. I'm going to find something daily to let my Christianity fly out. And number three, what's one way you can follow Jesus better? What's one way you can follow Jesus better? You know, maybe it is saying, I'm going to get a devotional and just have some teaching going into my life. Maybe it's I'm going to save my radio and get it off the worldly music and put on some Christian music where I can hear about Jesus as I'm driving. You know, maybe it's switching a few podcasts around. Maybe it's saying I want to get an accountability group going. Maybe two or three guys or two or three ladies. You know, whatever it is, what is it this year that you can kind of take a step up to say, I want to know Jesus better? Listen, if you do those three things, I think it's amazing what God could do. I heard a story by Charles Swindoll, and he said he was walking on campus one day at the seminary. He said, I was just walking around the seminary, and he said, I was going down this sidewalk, and he said, I looked over, and he said, I saw in some bushes, he said, kind of far back in the bushes, he said, there was something. And he said, it was interesting, it caught my eye. He said, I don't know if they had trimmed the bushes that week or something, but he said, I'd been there many times before and just never noticed. And he walked over to it, and he said, it was this marble bird bath. This marble bird bath. He said, he didn't know how old it was. He didn't know how long it had been there. He said, vines had grown up around it. This bush had kind of closed in. And he said, he looked at it, and he said, you know, it had this beautiful, it was made out of one piece of marble. One piece of marble. And he said, you know, somebody had carved this out with a beautiful fluted kind of base on it. And then the intricacies of the design around the bowl that the bird bowl was in. And he said he just sat there and thought, you know, how many hours, how many months, how many years did this artist of this bird bath take that's now covered up and hidden? And he said, I just stopped there and he said, God, please don't let my life be about making bird baths. He said, let me do something with my time. Because this person, they had time. They invested it in something. But their something got covered up. He said, let me live a life of denying myself, of taking up my cross daily, and following you hard every day. And I guarantee that'll never be covered up. Vines will never grow on that. But what you'll see is a strong and growing Christian life. Because Jesus said, this is what you must do to be my disciple. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you for 2023. It's hard. There's some hard stuff this year. There's some good stuff. But God, as we look forward to 2024 as individuals, as a church, God, as a community of believers, help us put our eyes on the target, God. Help us to know what's important as compared to what's going to fade away. And God, we just thank you this morning that you're here in this room, that you inhabit our prayers and our praise. And God, we do want to be a disciple of yours. Give us the strength to do that in 2024. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we enter into this time of reflection, if God's laid something on your heart that you need prayer for, I'm going to be down front.